Hey, it's so good to welcome you to Fields Church Online, and we are so pleased that you've tuned in for this message. No matter what's going on in your world right now, we pray that you come away feeling encouraged by this message.
Father, I thank you for Richard this morning. I just pray for your words to come forth from his mouth, that we would be encouraged, we would be blessed, and that you would open our ears and open our hearts to the specific word you have for each one of us this morning through Richard. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Oh, wasn't it great to have the children up? Hey. And thank you for responding so heartily when they sang. It's fantastic, isn't it? Because they're not just the church of tomorrow, are they? They're part of the church today, and we so value them. The youth are going to go out. So that's good. Let's just pray together. Let's just do that. And just think about leading up to Christmas and the witness that we should be in our world to those around us who don't know Jesus and don't know the reason for the season. As we sit amongst family and friends and meet family and friends over this holiday period, that we would bring Jesus into conversation. Lord, because this is why we're here. But also very mindful, it's very painful for people over this period, and where maybe someone has lost a loved one or a relationship has broken down, and people feel pain at this time of the year. And I pray that we would be a church not just that gathers on a Sunday, but goes out into our world affecting the people in our lives, the people in our sphere of influence that we can affect in a positive way. Jesus, help us to be salt and light wherever we go, spreading cheer and the joy of the Lord wherever we are. Father God, I thank you for this message of the Godhead. As we study the Godhead and we come and look at the story where Jesus comes as a man to redeem mankind and some thoughts around that. I thank you, Lord, I'm just a servant here serving your people with the word of life. I pray that I speak with clarity. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you carry my words. You're the true teacher. I'm just your vessel. But you carry the words that I say to every heart, bringing understanding, bringing comfort, bringing joy, bringing peace, but also a challenge for us as Christians to give an account of what we believe whenever we meet people in our world. So, Father, we thank you for the word of life, that it's like a seed goes into every heart, producing a harvest in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, you'll say amen. So I'm concluding this series on the Godhead. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John. That's the letter of John, 1 John 4:1. That's at the end of your Bible if you'd like to do that. If not, you can look at the screen. We're going to go there in a second. So this is the last part. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus, I think it's really important for us to do that, not just at Christmas time, but whenever we gather together or wherever we are in our quiet time. So it's fitting for us to see that Jesus came. He humbled himself. He is God. He is God, but he humbled himself and came to earth as a man. So we're going to have a look at the virgin birth, what the Bible says about that. We call this the incarnation. This means that God took on human form in a body. And let's see what Scripture says about people who agree that Jesus came in the flesh. And let's see what Scripture says about people who disagree that Jesus came in the flesh. Now, the Apostle John tackles this issue. So if you're there with me, go to 1 John 4, verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "Beloved," who's he talking to? Those believers, "beloved," you're the beloved. Did you know that? Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're beloved." Turn to your neighbor the other side and say, "God loves you." "Beloved, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test." Everyone say test. Yes. "But test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Verse 2. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." So verse 1 explains that we are to test the spirits. Why should we do that? It explains because there are false teachers in John's day going out into the world. And I'm sure in our day, there are many false teachers going out into the world that proclaim a Christian identity. They confess themselves and believe that they're Christians. And yet they deny that either Jesus was God or Jesus came in the flesh. And I think this is really, these are important foundations for us as Christians to believe. We should test the source and the content of everything that we hear, because not everything we hear is truth. If what a teacher says doesn't line up with Scripture, that's why we bring verses, many verses in the Bible to you, so that you can see this in your Bibles as well. And we need to check it out and test what's being said. That's why I'd like you, if you can, bring your Bibles, your electronic devices. If you can't, we're going to have the verses there. But it's really good for you to follow along in your Bibles if you can. How do we test what's true? We can do this in a number of ways. I'm just going to have a look at three ways. Firstly, if we're familiar with the real, we'll spot the fake. I've said this many times before, that people working in banks, they wouldn't show them a bank fake note. They wouldn't show them a fake bank note. They would show them the real so that they'd familiar themselves with the real. And when the fake came along, they'd spot the fake. Do you see that? Someone who worked in a bank told me that, so I think that's true. That's why it's important for us, I can't stress this enough, to study the Bible for yourself. In the new year, I'm going to do a couple of weeks on how to study the Bible. Just basic things that we can apply, because sometimes we think, you know, I heard one guy say, I went to a conference and he says, I read 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible every morning. And I thought, gee, should I be reading 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible every morning? But you know, we can get so much more from just a couple of words. It's not just about content, is it? It's about the context. It's about what these words are saying to us. I mean, these words were written 2,000 years ago, but are they relevant for us today? I believe they are very relevant for us today. Those writers weren't just talking to their generation, but our generation. And we're to carry this on. They didn't have the Word of God like we did. They taught orally. How many people have more than one Bible sitting on a shelf at home? I'm guilty. I have about, I don't know, I have quite a few that I've collected over the years because I like different translations. But if you go on your phone, you can go on Bible apps and you can get various translations. Won't cost you anything, will it? Who has YouVersion on their Bible, on their app? That's great. Go to that. Come on. I just want us to really get into the Word of God, because times are getting darker and Christians have got to learn to stand. That's why we're here. To hopefully impart truth to you so that you can stand strong in these days that are dark. Because many people are living in fear with what's going on in the world today. And it's no wonder, could it happen here? Oh no, could this escalate into, you know, the rest of the world and now we're at war? Is this the end? You know, we're living in the end times, but we got to live for Jesus while we're living in these end times. Whether he's coming back in 100 years or tomorrow, we need to be ready. That's why we teach the children. Those children are so excited to go to children's church and they come out and they show their mums what they've done. I always ask guests, so what did you teach today? And she tells me, she's all excited. I say, God, I wish I'd been there today. It's really good to be with the kids because they're like little sponges, aren't they? And I think we should be like little sponges. You know, secondly, Scripture interprets Scripture. Can we see this theme that Jesus was born of a virgin and that he came in the flesh in other parts of the Bible? We can't just base doctrine on one verse of Scripture. We need to see that in other places to make sure that it's congruent with the rest of the Bible. Can anyone think of a couple of verses to confirm that Jesus came in the flesh? Just one. There's one in John 1, verse 14. What is it? Shout it out. Lovely. And the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. What about Galatians 4:4? Anyone know what that says? Quickly go in your Bibles. Have a look. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. You see, we can see this in and many other passages, many other passages. Thirdly, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit living within us. And when we know the truth, because the Bible says when the Spirit comes, he will lead us into all truth. All truth. How many of you want truth? We're not going to find truth in our newspapers. We're not going to find truth in the news. We're not. We're not going to find the truth out there. I believe we're going to find the truth by the Word of God. That second verse says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. The apostle says you'll know the Spirit of truth because you have the Spirit of truth living within you. We don't just have the Holy Spirit in us to feel good, but to live a holy life, a life separated to God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us live that separated life. Jesus has come in the flesh. Those who confess that, they're of God. Test everything we hear by what? The Word of God. That's why we need to be familiar of it. We can make Scripture say anything we want. Did you know that? You know, we can make Scripture say anything we want. Do you want me to prove that to you today? I'm going to show you a Scripture that is absolutely shocking. And you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. But you will believe it when you see it because it's the Word of God, isn't it? Should I take this in context or out of context? Is context very important? We need to read it in context, don't we? When I first read this Scripture, I really laughed and I thought, you know, maybe I should maybe go ahead and do that. Because, did you know the Bible says that I can kill you all? Did you know that? Do you believe that? I've got a Scripture to show you. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth. When I first read that, I thought, well, that's funny, because sometimes you'd like to, you know. Get the little sheep and... Why do you think the shepherd has a crook? Why is it a crook? He's got the pointy bit to prod it, and that bit round it's, you know, the curved bit, to sort of hoik it in, is that right? This is just talking about the sinful part of our nature, our human nature. Context is king. Tell your neighbor. Context is king. So the Apostle John is warning against false teachers. This was a problem in his day and a problem in ours. He goes on to talk about this. We're going to go back to 1 John 4:2. And it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Then we're going to go on to verse 3. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. He gets strong here. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit. Look at this. How strong this is. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Anything that's not of God is anti-God. Anyone who's not of Christ is anti-Christ. Do we see that? I know that can seem quite strong, but that's what the Apostle John is warning people against. He warns us against this spirit of Antichrist. You know, Jesus came in a human body. If he didn't, then there's no sacrifice for sin. And more importantly, we're going to be living sin, and sin is not going to be conquered. And if that's so, there'll be no resurrection. I believe, do we believe that Jesus is going to resurrect our bodies on that day when he comes in glory to receive us to himself? I believe that with all of my heart. You know, the Apostle John takes this further in 2 John. I don't know why I've got that there. That's wrong. I don't know why that's there. No, okay. I've got the wrong verse of Scripture up there. If you're in your Bibles, turn with me to 2 John 1:7. I'm going to read from the New Living. And it says, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. So he's really going strong on this, isn't he? Verse 9, and anyone who wanders away from this teaching... Anyone who wanders away from this teaching, look at this, has no relationship with God. That's quite strong, isn't it? But anyone who remains in this teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. And verse 10 says, look at this, if anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. When you get people knocking on your door and you know they're of a different spirit, of a different gospel, don't invite them into your house. Don't invite them into your house. You can just love them and say, you know, you're from wherever, that's okay. I don't really want to chat to you today, if that's okay. You can be polite, you don't have to be rude. If you've got into conversations with people, when they share another truth, I say, that's quite interesting, but, you know, where do you get that from? Where does that come from? What Bible are you taking that from? And then you can share through, you know, contact and chatting with those people, the word of life, which we see in our Bibles. Is there any historical evidence that Jesus came to earth? There was a guy called Josephus. He was a Jewish historian, and Tacitus was a Roman historian. They testify about Jesus' existence. The four Gospels, the writings of Paul, we can see, testify of a historical Jesus. The Old Testament prophets testify that Jesus was born of a virgin. But what about Jesus as the God-man? What part of that do we believe, if we believe that at all? The idea that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. Jesus isn't 50% God and 50% man, 50% divine and 50% human. He's 100% God, 100% divine, and he's 100% man. You know, that Christ was fully man, yet fully divine. The Bible supports this, Jesus' humanity. The Gospels report that Jesus had needs. Do you remember when he was in the boat and he slept? So he must have been tired, is that right? He was asleep in the boat and his disciples got a bit miffed. He needed food, didn't he? There were times when he needed food. He fasted 40 days and he came out of that fast and he was hungry, the Bible says, and angels ministered to him. When Jesus went to Samaria and he was standing at the well and this woman came to him, he'd sent off the guys because it says he was tired and he was hungry. And he sent the guys off to get McDonald's because you can do that. I'm sure that was Uber Eats were around in that day. So he sent them off to get McDonald's and he had this chat with this woman at the well. So Jesus was hungry, he was tired. Other indications of his humanity that he perspired. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was perspiring blood. Can you imagine the anguish that Jesus was under? Do you think he even experienced fear? I don't know. I'm not Jesus. And he bled. Jesus also expressed emotion, including joy, sorrow, and even anger. Remember when he went into the temple with a whip? That's quite challenging, isn't it, to read something like that? Driving out the money changers. Let's have a look at John 8:39. Jesus said, because he mentioned to them, that the people in his world, that he was a man. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. And then Jesus says, amen. You seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. So he refers to himself as a man. And after his resurrection, Jesus is recognized, his humanity is recognized in Acts 2:22. It says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to do miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. And I think some of my favorite verses about John, we find in John 1. John 1, I'm not going to go to John 1:1, but who knows what that says? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, who's the Word? Jesus was with God, so that's in time past when God created all things. What does it say then? And the Word was God. Is that right? Yeah. And then John 1:14, I love these words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Can you imagine that? When Jesus said to these disciples, who do men say that I am? He was God in their midst. And he said, who do you say that I am? Peter, the one who denied his Lord, said, you are the Christ. Can you imagine when Peter got that revelation? God standing in front of me. I've been walking these roads with Jesus. Can you imagine that? We don't get the emotion and anything tied up with that when we're, I mean, if Jesus walked in here now, I don't think we'd say, oh, look, there's Jesus. I'd probably say that and you'd all turn around and say, where is he? We'd all be on our faces. I don't think we'd be able to say anything. I think we'd be on our faces worshiping our King. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? What were the words of Jesus? What did he say? No one has revealed that to you but the Spirit of God. Or words to that effect. You know, Constantine presided over the first council of Nicaea in 325. I'm sure you Bible scholars, those who've been to Bible college will know what that means. To debate the issue whether Christ was divine or was he created. And this is the outcome. Look on the slide there. The first council of Nicaea, 325, determined that Christ was begotten, not made. This is way back then. They had a debate right back then. And that he was therefore not creature, but creator. Creator. The basis for this claim was the doctrine that he was of the same substance as the Father. This shows us that Christ is divine. You know that word begotten? There's a lot of begatting in the Bible, isn't there? That word begotten, bless you, means this: single of its kind, to be one's only son, one and one only. Isn't that amazing? I still find it amazing that Christ, before the foundation of the world, the Father said to him, we have a problem. And the only way to solve this problem, because man has sinned, we need to send another man to pay for man's sin. And from the beginning of time, before the world began, before creation, God sent his Son for that very purpose. And he could have just come on the day, got crucified. No, he came and lived among us. He came and lived among his people. He could see the pain and the suffering of his people under Roman occupation. He didn't say, right, we're going to revolt. Let's kick these guys out of here. No, Jesus showed us another way to live, didn't he? That's what I love about Jesus. You know, we can see in Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 7, 14. So the writer, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, prophesies about the coming of Christ 700 years before he came. He came as a man. These verses show both Christ's humanity and his divinity. I love this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. He was with them then. He's with us now in the form of the Holy Spirit living within us. Again, that's astounding, isn't it? You know, it's scientifically impossible for a virgin to give birth to a child. It's scientifically impossible for a man to walk on water, scientifically impossible for someone to be raised from the dead. And yet Jesus performed these miracles. Firstly, in this verse, we can see the prophet saying that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He also prophesies that Jesus, the Messiah, will also be God. He calls his name Emmanuel. So Emmanuel means God with us. And then lastly, as I close, Isaiah 9:6. I just love these verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Look at this. And his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. What wonderful words from Isaiah that we can hold on to, that we have a mighty God, a wonderful counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace living in us. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and think about why Jesus came. He came to die for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. Could you just play some music in the background there, please? Let's just think about that for a moment. I'm so thankful thankfulness should be a part of our everyday life. We should be thankful for our salvation, knowing that Jesus is going to return and take his bride, us, his church, with him, to be with him for eternity. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so thankful for that. And as a pastor, I've had the privilege of seeing so many people in my 40 plus years as a Christian come to faith, grow in the Lord. I've seen so many people set free from addiction, of many things. Broken lives healed physically and emotionally. What a privilege. Think about that in your own life. What has God done for you? What's that question? What has Jesus done for me? Died for me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says, the ungodly. We didn't deserve his forgiveness. We don't have to earn his forgiveness. We don't have to earn our salvation. We just have to humbly come to God and say, I need you, God. I need you in my life. Is there anyone here this morning? Maybe you've not made that step of asking Jesus to come into your life. I want to tell you, friend, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He demonstrated that love by dying on a cruel cross. He took all of our guilt, all of our shame, dying naked on a cross for you and me. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, I've just heard what you said, and yeah, I believe God is speaking to me today. I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe God's knocking on the door of your heart and he wants to come in. The only one letting him, stopping him coming in is you. The door of your heart, the handle is on the inside, and we've got to open our hearts up and say, Lord, come in. Is that you today? Are you here today? You've served God and maybe you've backslidden, but you're here today. Maybe you've given up on God, friend, but I want to say to you, he'll never, 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 ever give up on you. And he's ready and waiting and willing to put his arms out and welcome you back into his family again. Is that you? So for those of you who are here for the first time, maybe You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've tried church. Church isn't about being, that doesn't make you say. When you go to a church, it doesn't mean to say you become a Christian. It's when we confess Jesus as our Lord. Ask Him into our lives. Believe that He rose from the dead. That's when we become a Christian. Not just by going to church. Church is a good thing and you need to go to church. But confessing Him as Lord and Savior. Is there anyone here today who needs to do that? Just confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior while no one's looking around. Just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Thank you. I see that hand. That's amazing. Anybody else? You can put your hand down and we'll chat to you afterwards. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here today. And you want to come back. And I'm speaking to you. Just put your hand up and say, that's me. I want to come back to the Lord today. I want to give Him my life again and serve Him wholeheartedly. Is that you?